In the movie critic world, certain properties derive a reaction from a grown man named Mike, which can be considered especially emotional. His dedicated partner, another grown man named Mike, fabricates an elite interrogation questioning everything about that reaction to ensure its authenticity and sanity in 15-minute quickisodes known as Devil and the Advocate. These are those stories.
And we're back. Welcome to Mike, Mike, and Oscar. This is our fourth data, that's Devil and the Advocate, quickisode, and I, also Mike, love that intro. Great job, Mike number one.
I feel like I should have a guttural scream right now like a warrior going into battle.
You're hyped, I know this. So we've talked about the upcoming Halloween and Mandy trailers and Dadas 2 and 3, because you're a big horror film nerd. We began the series chatting about my hate for Solo, a Star Wars story, because I was so upset, because I'm such a Star Wars nerd.
Yes.
Now we're back to you for data number four here today. You're passionate about more things in your life than me, apparently, at this stage.
Debatable. A couple absurd things I'm very passionate
because
about.
Because here's the thing. There is Emmy buzz. Emmy buzz for an actor in the most unlikely show of shows. Your favorite.
Give it to me.
The WWE. Mike number one, this is the day you have been waiting for.
Yes.
It is finally here.
Yes.
A wrestling personality slash character slash advocate named Paul Heyman.
He's just an advocate, people.
This man has acting chops, legit
right?
Acting chops.
Isn't he like an actual entertainer?
I'm very impressed. So you thought you're getting a ton of hardball questions. You're probably getting softball questions here today because I had fun watching these videos. Mike, please, within your opening rant, please tell us who Paul Heyman is and go to it, my friend.
So there is very few things that I would say any particular actor has done better and slash film, to steal their word for Heyman's performance, which is kind of the derivative or the inspiration for this data episode, that has done better and more nuanced than Paul Heyman has done throughout this particular storyline and this year in WWE in general. Now, Paul Heyman, for those of you who don't know, he's an old school manager type. He refers to himself as the advocate for Brock Lesnar in WWE programming.
If this was hip hop, he'd be wearing a giant clock around his neck.
Flavor Flav drum, is that was his thing? But yes, sure. Instead of a clock, he shows up in a three-piece suit and a kind of a ponytail when he grows his hair out too long. He is the guy that kind of is the hype man for Brock Lesnar. And Brock Lesnar, if you don't know, is kind of this huge crossover guy who was a legitimate UFC fighter, started in WWE, went to UFC, had huge success there as their heavyweight champion, came back to WWE, and has been the Universal Champion until, spoiler alert, this past Sunday at SummerSlam.
He is a bull disguised as a man, pretending to be a man.
More or less.
He can stand up, yeah.
One of the few things he cannot actually do. He can devour humans, but he can't really speak well for himself, and that's where Paul Heyman comes in.
Right.
Paul Heyman is one of the great orators in pro wrestling history. He's one of the, and by that, in that, he is also one of the greatest managers. Those two kind of go hand in hand. He's a throwback to the old days of the Bobby the Brain Heenans, the Sherry Martells, the people that kind of
these
worked the microphone.
These names mean nothing to
really?
Any of
you're
us.
Not, you, I mean, that's why I'm bringing up the old names, because even if you don't follow wrestling today, because, you know, you're a normal human being with a life, you should know the Bobby the Brain. Those are kind of names of wrestling lore. Those are the big talkers of years okay. past. Rowdy Piper.
You could have said Joey the Head.
What's not the Gambino crime family, for Christ's sake?
Mikey the Muscle Tompkins. I have no idea who you're talking about. You get some makeup shit. Go, keep going.
This performance that Heyman has done, while I don't seriously think it will be of Emmy caliber, I can't compare it to the lead. I tried, was going to compare it to the supporting actor Emmy consideration, and then I realized I don't watch any of those shows. And I've been watching too many movies for this podcast. But I will say, inarguably, that the Heyman performance, this storyline, which has been pretty much a three-year-long storyline, but has really ramped up to its conclusion, or at least its conclusion for now, this past year in particular of 2018, is one of the best on-small-screen performances I have ever seen.
So you sent me like 15 videos.
I did.
Many of them were in narrative succession, which I must say just tickled me so pink and gave me goosebumps.
I said I would provide context in person, and then I ended up writing out a storyboard
email to
you.
I'm an email guy. I'm a writer, and I like long emails to friends. It's one of my things. If you want a way to my heart, that's it right there. So, but listen, I am way too snobby, nor would I ever give you the satisfaction of ever watching wrestling full-time again.
Yes.
But I must say, these videos were fun.
Damn right!
They were honestly a pleasant surprise, because this is a kooky story, but it has some dramatic reversals, and he's a funny...
Slowly coming back into the WWE house.
But I must ask you, is convincing to me to become a wrestling fan the secret agenda behind this whole episode?
Working wrestling into one of our episodes absolutely is a secret agenda.
Now, I will say, you are not the only film critic that is also a wrestling fan. We got Mundy.
There's a lot of them out there.
People. We got Slash Film people. So a lot of the critics in our film Twitter circle.
And it goes with the dramedy of it all, right? I've always referred to wrestling not as men in tights pulling at one another, but it's more of a guy's soap opera, which is kind of how it's always been position to me in my household. It's a soap opera involving the dramatic twists and turns that are usually personified in daytime soap operas, except it's on 3 hours every Monday night on USA Network.
That being said, we're doing three pods a week these days. I'll probably watch On Chesil Beach or The Seagull instead of Monday Night Raw.
And you would be missing out, my friend. You would be missing out. Tell me, in this last, so it, for those of you who don't keep up, and those of you that do are up to date on the storylines, and like Mike said, there are a lot of you in the film criticism world that also take in WWE.
I just gave you way too much encouragement.
Oh yeah, now I'm gone. You hit a nerve. But for those of you who don't watch on a weekly basis, this storyline that has been evolving throughout the last couple weeks leading up to this biggest pay-per-view during the summer months called SummerSlam, Roman Reigns has kind of been the new age John Cena. John Cena obviously has been the face of WWE for about 15 years.
He's in Lockers, right?
Yes,
he's the Bull and Ferdinand.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, to relate it actually back to films. He's been like the guy, quote unquote, that has been the face of WWE, and Roman Reigns has kind of been the handpicked, chosen successor to him. And with that has come a lot of criticism, because he's kind of been forced down the fans' throats. There's been a lot of resentment and backlash towards Roman Reigns being the guy. Brock Lesnar has been the champion, and kind of in a way to manipulate fans to stop criticizing Reigns and start getting on his side, they kind of held Lesnar off TV for a while, for a prolonged period, and kind of used Roman as the guy, look, I'm here every week, I want the title to be here every week, blah, 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 being the everyman underdog.
They're phasing Lesnar out kind of like a sitcom?
More or less, probably.
Okay.
There's rumors that go along with that Lesnar might return to UFC.
Okay, so this was like Spin City when Charlie Sheen came on before Michael J. Fox got booted.
Yes, exactly.
But Michael J. Fox got ill.
The analogy I was actually going to bring up, sure. With that, Heyman has had to hype. They've actually introduced a conflict within the Heyman-Lesnar relationship, a relationship that has been in real life Heyman just gave an interview to Sports Illustrated talking about how he's not in the WWE business, he's in the Brock Lesnar business. There's been that real life relationship that was put under a microscope and given strife. Lesnar actually turned on Heyman recently.
Right.
And so Heyman has had to portray this emotional roller coaster of being the advocate for Lesnar, but crying on TV because he thinks he's lost Brock, but doing a double turn on Roman Reigns to get back in Brock's good graces, et cetera, et cetera.
So it's amazing to me watching this. I'm totally expecting a complete train wreck. And yet, Paul Heyman is great at hyping up a crowd,
getting them to
boo him so much. Michael, how does he get this crowd to boo him and then in promos make them feel sorry for him in these other promos?
Because he is a legitimately decent dramatic actor, is the short answer.
Should we hope he never goes into politics?
Oh, he would be a cult of personality, which is a double-edged answer because that was his client CM Punk's former theme music. But he actually, in the wrestling business, David Shoemaker, the Masked Man of the Ringer Podcast Network, he's their wrestling guru, on his show, the Masked Man Podcast, he said that Heyman kind of gets the boos of respect from the audience because he's there supposed to be the bad guy, but everyone is kind of above the business that really follows this anymore.
I see.
They're more into the inner workings of the backstage.
He relishes those boos.
He drags feeds them out of them. out of the audience because they don't. I don't want to boo Heyman, but he just finds a way to just nitpick and grizzle and chisel away at you.
And yet, in this recent arc, he's doing both because he's getting the
walking
sympathy,
that fine
the
line
empathy because his wrestler
Evolution
is turning on him.
Is the DNA of continued existence. You know who said that, Mike?
Absolutely.
Paul Heyman to Sports Illustrated in this interview he just did last week.
I'm going to have to listen to that on rewatch after you edit this, baby. Wow. It's philosophical from the WWE. So a mark of bad acting. Let's break his acting down a little bit. A mark of bad acting is not blinking. If I analyze any of these wrestlers, they are staring blocks of granite in most of those promos, which drives me wild as a film critic. But this guy
as it should. I mean, it does. When you're bad, you jump off the screen as being exposed.
He knows how to pause, how to blink his eyes, look down. He knows when to do the big face for the big crowd. Now, because he has to be the theatrical performer for an arena of fans, but he also has to be looked at and do the nuances of acting in front of a camera.
A multi-camera sitcom, basically.
Yeah. As a film critic, how do you assess this actor's range? Because it's going far, near, and all that.
It's very unusual to have someone so in touch with the audience in a live performance on such a daily basis right now. I think about all the live performances that we have really in this world today. Live sports, reality shows like American Idol. You're kind of always playing the same role.
Right.
Except in WWE where you have to play a character. Because again, it's a soap opera on live TV.
Sure.
So he's been able to not only evolve his character, which is what he stated he wanted to do, he's evolved it in sight, sound, speech, purpose, and motivation, but the way he's able to always keep evolving while staying relevant. You can evolve and become passé, you can evolve and kind of become an afterthought, and you can evolve and fade into the scenery, but he's always managed to evolve and always, whether it's through backstage politicking, whether it's because he is so talented, who knows what the actual reason, he's always managed to stay in front of the camera and in the biggest storylines, which as a manager is a credit to him, especially when you consider he's only the manager of one guy anymore.
Right, who's not on the show that often. So what's interesting to me is that he's kind of come up through the ranks. He ran the ECW for a while.
He was the head of ECW. Started as a manager in WCW, went off to start ECW, and now has been working for on and off for the WWE.
And they work all these meta storylines into the WWE current storyline, which I thought was fascinating in these YouTube videos that you sent me.
Yes.
Before I get into those, though, Mike, his outfit game. I cannot ignore this. In some of those early videos, Paul Heyman,
I'm glad you're bringing this up,
is wearing a duster.
Yes.
This man is 5'11", and he's pulling off a duster.
Well,
he's
wearing a duster. I don't know if he's pulling it off.
He's 280 pounds. He's a cracker away from 310.
Now, so, let us not be the first to criticize anyone's weight here. But it always, his nickname for all his enemies that have been throughout the years in WWE, they've dubbed him the Walrus, because that is what he is similar
to. I'm not done. He's got a hat. He's wearing a three-piece suit under the duster, but he also somehow has a hood on the back of this duster.
Oh,
it's very weird.
He doesn't want his hair to get wet in that ponytail.
There's a ponytail, but there's a leather duster. There's a hood of some fabric. I don't know. There seems like there's 14 layers, and this man is jumping around in the ring.
Now, what you're describing...
He doesn't sweat. I don't get it.
Oh, he sweats. There's a difference between the early day WWE Paul Heyman and what he is, the advocate Paul Heyman. That's
right.
Part
now
of his evolution.
Just, now he's got a
three-piece suit. He's always there. Yeah. But you're right in that he had that interesting getup, and that was part of his, because he was supposed to be a thorn in the side of WWE at the time. He was supposed to be counterculture and anti-WWE, especially in that one video I sent you. It was, for those of you that follow wrestling, it was his promo chiding out and kind of work shooting on Vince McMahon about how the Alliance will bring him down at Survivor Series.
Basically, it's the equivalent of Wes Anderson taking his cast for Moonrise Kingdom and letting them make their own costumes in a month-long retreat before they start filming.
I don't know, because McMahon is notoriously, or at least reportedly notoriously, anal behind the scenes about everything that's on screen.
I see.
So whether this was a Paul Heyman decision, I'm sure it was. I think it was, personally. Or whether it was given to him by Vince McMahon. But you're right. His look has definitely coincided with his character change over time.
When he was running the show of ECW, Heyman was like, yes, give me the duster. That's cool. Yes, give me the hoodie. That's also cool. Yeah, the suit. I got to wear the suit.
Think about it in kayfabe. When he's in the duster, he's running the show. I'm behind the scenes. I'm never going to be on camera anyway, right? That's the thing. Of the storyline. When you're an advocate, you got to look your best. You got to get your best for your clients. You got to go out there in front of the world and millions of people and sell, baby.
So he's certainly selling. All right, question number five here. I'm going to quote the esteemed philosopher CM Punk.
Yes!
Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall. And that's the about addiction that he, the enunciation he gives it.
Yes.
He's not a great actor. So Paul.
Oh, how dare you, sir?
CM Punk, no. Sorry. I won't get
you. I saw one promo. Wait a minute. You saw one promo of his.
Dude,
you saw the pipe bomb.
He snarled without blinking for like 5 minutes, and during the shots, he's just like, grr.
Well, he was speaking
I wanted
from
to
heart.
Give him a meme that just said, grr. All right.
You're not going to be allowed in wrestling circles if you shit on that promo.
Paul Heyman has been a maestro at breaking the fourth wall. You texted me the other night, this is not my daddy's pro wrestling.
Yes.
Mike, what's up with all these meta storylines? So basically, Heyman is playing a thorn with his backstory that's actually his real life.
Yes.
As a rival CEO. The ECW was a rival of the WWE for all those years.
Kind of, yes.
In a way, smaller rival, sure. Little brother. How do they work all these meta storylines in?
So that promo that you have just classlessly dissed on CM Punk's part is notorious and played a big role, I think, in Heyman coming back to the company. But regardless, that's the pipe bomb promo, the infamous pipe bomb promo.
The infamous.
It is amongst wrestling circles. That is an infamous promo. That kicked off the reality era in a lot of what's been dubbed the reality era since. And that's the era we're in now, because WWE, too, the only way it survives is by evolving. So what you remember as the Hulkamania, say your prayers and eat your vitamins, to the Attitude Era, where it's just sex and nudity and chair shots and blood.
Right.
Has now come into
when you're 12, that's fun.
Right, of course. And that's the market they were going to. But now it's coming to the reality era where they need to attach, they gotta sell toys to kids, but at the same time keep their parents interested, giving them a little meat on the bone to chew on. Yeah. So the reality era has been this mixing of these meta storylines, and it's kind of what the company's been running on for a while. I mean, look at their biggest star right now. If you take Lesnar out of it, their biggest star is probably Ronda Rousey,
right,
who made her fame not in WWE at all.
UFC. So, Mike, one of the stages in this plotline with CM Punk is that Paul Heyman was locked in a match with two other wrestlers,
yes,
one of his, Ryback, and CM Punk.
Look at you doing your research.
Hell in the Cell match. Number one, what is a Hell in the Cell match? Is that like the found footage genre of wrestling? Is that the grainy beach? Yeah.
No. It's basically a cage match on steroids, where instead of the cages against the ropes, they give you a little bit, they put a cage around the ring area, so you have a little bit of the outside to play with.
So is Heyman in that match? Is he getting beat up too?
I believe the stipulation was that if Punk won, he'd get 5 minutes with Heyman. And that's part of Heyman's, I mean,
which is a crime.
I'm sure. Not if you agree to it. Just like boxing isn't a crime. It's two people consenting to beat each other up.
I see. So Heyman plays funny. He plays for comedy often. Mike, this man's not just talented as a dramatic actor. I mean, crying during an interview. He's great as a comedian. Now, obviously, he does the heel turn thing in front of the mob, never mind the crowd, but he makes you laugh. Do you think he's channeling vaudeville? What do you think of his gesture game? I mean, sometimes he goes over the top, but...
Oh, wrestling is over the top.
Of course, but he's relatively conservative.
I think he has the most expressive face in wrestling history, and I think you brought that up.
He's
on
the
your
Tony
own
Collette
core
of wrestling.
Right, that's a good way to put it. He's very of the moment and kind of is the conduit through which the audience can view how they should interpret the scene laying out in front of them. And when that is comedy, you're right. His comedic timing, this guy could easily be a legitimate actor, I think.
We're getting there. We're building up to it. So this last storyline with quote-unquote Brock Lesnar, his guy, Heyman's guy, turning on him.
Yes.
This built up to SummerSlam, which happened this past Sunday. So that's kind of why we're releasing it now. There was Emmy praise in a Slash Film article. One of the film blogs that's our go-to film blogs. There's a Slash Film cast guy who's a wrestling fan, and there's a couple writers over there who are wrestling fans. So that's why we're doing this today, because a Slash Film article the day after Lesnar was choked by his own guy.
Heyman was choked by Lesnar.
And
Heyman choked Lesnar, Heyman would be dead, whether it's real or kayfabe.
Okay, so, and he had an interview with a WWE reporter where he was like, tears in his eyes, crying the whole time.
He drinks your milkshake, right? I mean, that was his, that's the Emmy piece, that's the showcase. Right. That's what you see if you're going to nominate this guy on the show floor and you're going over best supporting lead actors in a drama series. Oh my God, everybody was blown away. Twitter in general, anyone that saw that was like, my God, is this guy acting his balls off?
And it felt like full circle to me after I watched all your videos now, because that interview alone incorporated all the meta storylines, all the quote unquote personal stuff. I think he was doing a lot of improvising there. He must have been, because
I would agree.
He felt very genuine, and his delivery of the lines, you buy what he's saying to you, and it doesn't look like the lines are planted
more
that
so
often
than a lot of pro wrestlers. I would agree.
I'm sorry.
I will give out your address.
All right. Here's the thing, Mike. This is the fun part now. If Paul Heyman could act in a movie or a series of movies, what would you like to see him in? I'm going to give different kinds of examples here. Would you like to see him as a suit, then the guy in charge of the next Jurassic Park? Would you like to see him as the old man neighbor in the next Dennis the Menace? Would you like to see him in a remake of Uncle Buck? Would you like to see him as the villain in your next, choose your favorite action film, The Expendables, or whatever the next big shark movie is? Could he play a mad scientist in a horror film? Would you want to see him as the bad guy in the next Hostel movie? Or, you know, screw it. Can he do a British accent, and is he the next Winston Churchill for an Oscar grab? Is he in the True Detective and he just goes for Emmy gold in a real way? What do you want to see him in there, Mike, of those examples or whatever else you can think of?
Yes.
Easy answer.
I would, if he ever actually wanted, I don't think he would be taken seriously just because wrestling is still so stigmatized.
So I'm going to answer my long question.
Yeah, no, go ahead, because you approach it more as a film critic. Well, I'm too close to it.
I would like to see him like branch out and be a bad guy in one of these action movie franchises where there's other wrestlers involved, where you're kind of selling to a wrestling audience.
Not, I don't know why this one popped in my mind, but how would he not be a better role in the bad guy from Tomorrow Never Dies, the James Bond, tycoon,
the next movie Bautista's in, let him be the gangster behind the scenes or something, and let him take charge of that role, and if he knocks it out of the park, then he's got a career with it,
and then let them come back in a package deal so Bautista is his new client. I agree, I love it, sign me up.
So if Paul Heyman was never an actor, Mike, see by skip, which is our little movie game, pick one that you kind of like, pick one that you really like, pick one that you don't like here. Which career, acting-wise, which acting career would you want to see Paul Heyman have? John Goodman, Brian Dennehy, Ray Romano's brother, and Everybody Loves Raymond, Robert, Brad Garrett.
Ooh.
So this is kind of...
I think he can
different
do,
levels of character actor there.
I think he can do the characters that Brad Garrett has tried to do outside of his Raymond character better than Brad Garrett has done them.
Brad Garrett, I like him. He's in the new comedian movie.
I always feel like he's trying to outshine his Everybody Loves Raymond character.
He is funny. I mean, this guy Paul Heyman, you acting snobs out there, you film snobs out there, he's funny on these wrestling videos.
Oh, God, Goodman's a good one, too. Those are good. I would see the Goodman roles only because I think Heyman would have been phenomenal in the remake of The Gambler.
I mean, if he was an actor his whole career, because he's got the ability.
Yeah, I would buy the Goodman roles. I would see the Garrett roles.
And Brian, Dennehy's too far removed.
I don't think Paul Heyman would do well in The Siegel.
No. Well, that was a fun episode, Mike. So for wrestling fans, we gave you your fix. For non-wrestling fans, we gave you a way in. with a great performance throughout these last 6 months or however long it's been.
Yes, go back. Whether or not you're a wrestling fan, if you have a wrestling fan, you've seen it. But if not, definitely go check out the one interview where just write Paul Heyman crying on YouTube. You'll see it.
Does a nice job. So, Mike, any final words here? This is your show.
My last argument. This is why we went long, because it's probably the only time I'm going to be able to openly talk about WWE with my partner's blessing.
I was all over my dock today. It's hard to wrangle you in. My God.
I appreciate you letting me do this. Paul Heyman might have written his goodbye, might have had a kind of a send-off on Monday night, and those that watched know what I'm talking about. I don't think we're going to see him for a while. I think we, much like with any of the legends of the small screen or the legends of the industry of wrestling in itself, anytime he's on the screen, whether you're a film critic or just a wrestling fan, I think you kind of need to relish it because it's going to be a performance that you don't get off.
So root for him to get the Emmy. Make sure he's the next villain in Expendables 4 or, Banshee reboot. It's perfect for those.
I agree with all of that. Thanks for listening.
See ya.